Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because of course we have with us on the line a Stan Deo, and we're going to be talking about one of his books. It's called The Cosmic Conspiracy. Stan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Stan.
Well, now you've been around for a long time talking about these things. One of my friends saw a copy of your book, and he said, well, I remember when he was on the Art Bell Show a long time ago, and then he moved over to Australia. Is that right?
Well, I was in Australia when I did the book and when I did the show. I met Art when I lived in Perth.
I see. All right, fine. Well, now, are you still living there, or are you back here in the States?
Well, I'm back here in the States, in Colorado, kind of looking up a valley named Beulah Valley, kind of picturesque, not Monterey Bay, but it's nice.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, Colorado certainly is one of the most beautiful spots in the world. And your book deals, of course, with the mystery religions. It deals with the ancient mysteries, which has always been one of my favorite topics, because you can't understand anything going on today if you don't understand ancient history, but even more than that, the ancient mysteries, which were well known at that time, years ago, to all of the mystics. They were known to people, but the average individual today has never heard of this, nor do they realize that there are organizations working at the highest level of our government that are certainly part and parcel of the mystery religions, specifically the Masons. And we have many of our presidents, many of our judges, and they're part of this Masonic movement, which dates back to the ancient mysteries. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I obviously don't know the personal details of the current government people, but 1978, I listed all that I knew at that time who were, you know, publicly espousing these organizations, and I think it has continued. There's no reason for them to have stopped being in our government.
All right. Well, now, how did you get into this whole discussion? You were a candidate at the Air Force Academy, weren't you?
Yes, I was there for about 20 months, and I received a congressional appointment from Bruce Alger, Republican in Texas. My dad knew Bruce through a lot of work that my dad did trying to wake up America at that time about the Illuminati and the great infiltration of our government. Dad set up a publishing company called Timely Publications, and so from the time I was, probably an early teenager, I was meeting people like General Walker and all kinds of stuff, lecturing to tens of thousands of people on what was happening. And in those days, we had maybe, I don't know, 250,000 Americans who were very switched on and trying to wake up their neighbors. To little avail, it would seem, as you can see what mess we're in today. But that's where I got my start in investigating this stuff, and then got caught up in it. After I left the academy, was in Dallas in civilian work. I trained at IBM in computing, and was working for one of IBM's big clients. And are we coming to a break? Are we there?
We're coming to a break just in about 20 seconds. So,
all right. Well, anyway, I was working for one of the big clients, and I got recruited for some work I'd done on inventing a kind of propulsion. And I was recruited by a multinational group that took me down to Australia. We can talk about after the break, if you wish.
All right, fine. And maybe we could just mention something about your techniques of brainwashing that were used, at least on some of the cadets, because I think that this is so frightening that they will take our Air Force cadets or other military academy cadets and subject them to mind control tricks. We'll be back in just a moment here with Stan Deo. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this afternoon is Stan Deo, who's written a number of books. The one we're going to be talking about today is The Cosmic Conspiracy. And on the front of the cover is a pyramid, and it's capped by an all-seeing eye, a triangle with the all-seeing eye in it. And, of course, around the eye, instead of the glorified eye you see on the back of the $1 bill, is a rose. And we'll talk a little bit more what the significance of the rose is as far as what's going on behind the scenes today. And what people don't really understand is there's two worlds. There's the world of the people who understand what's going on, and they're very, very few, they're very limited. And then there are the great masses of people who are told, oh, this is a struggle between Republicans and Democrats, between right and left, between conservatives and liberals. And anybody believes that there's any sort of a movement behind the scenes, why they've got to be really way out. You can be sure that Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw will never admit what's really going on, because they're paid fabulous salaries not to reveal but to conceal the truth. And so Stan Deo was at the Air Force Academy. You mentioned that before we went on the air, when we talked initially, that you and some of the other Air Force Academy cadets were actually submitted to various types of brainwashing experiments.
Yes, we were. We had to sign over our rights to kind of complain about that kind of stuff when we went into the academy, just a very innocuous form you sign. But in my case, and the case of several of my classmates in my year and a couple years ahead of me, we were subjected to things such as high-speed flash cueing, where we'd be in a room and be told to relax like a little theaterette, and we'd look at a screen, and in front of us, one single screen with a black focus dot on it, and we would be told to look at the dot and hold that image in our mind, and then when we were told, close our eyes and not open them until we were instructed. And once we were instructed to open them and keep them open until we were told to close them.
And, of course, this was really a technique of hypnosis, wasn't it?
No. In this particular case, well, we had hypnosis in other ways, I'll tell you. But this one, what happens, you were told to open your eyes, so you open it, and you heard the sound like, woo, like that. And it was this projector, this high-speed film strip projector in the room in the center there. It was doing 200 pages a second on that screen, 200 pages of books and documents per second. And I remember when we were first taken in there that, you know, we all kind of laughed after that happened and thought, yeah, right, sure, we read 200 and something pages.
We'll be right back in just a moment.
All right.
All right, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Stan Deo, and he was telling about his experiences as an Air Force cadet and how they would actually play mind games with them and train them how to read hundreds of pages a minute as they were flashed on the screen. Why don't you pick up the story there? Because these are the sort of mind games they play with certain of our extremely intelligent and capable people, ready to almost control their mind and their outlook.
Well, it was several hundred pages a second, Dr. Stan, not a minute.
That's even a more unimaginable. But they know they've learned how to control minds, haven't they?
Oh, yes. There are a number of programs that we have been able to track since I started looking into this years later to see what happened to us. But, we can't on cue bring up that kind of rapid reading. They had to prepare the documents and then project them on the screen for us so that we could absorb them. And you were not allowed to know beforehand what was going to be on the screen, because that would prejudice your mind, your subconscious mind. But it gave us a photographic imprint of those pages. And right after they stopped our first session there and said, does anybody remember anything that you just read? And, of course, we all laughed, except for the guy up behind me, Stretch, a tall fella. He got up. And he said, sir, you know, I remember something, because the instructor was saying, does anybody remember, you know, girl, corner, red? And on the third word, this guy jumped up and said, I see it floating in the air. I see page 13 floating in the air. He said, well, read it to us. And so Stretch is just looking off into space, and he started reading this invisible page 13 in his mind, word for word. When he'd finished, the instructor said to the guy on the machine, put up page 13. They did, and it was about a girl standing under a street lamp in a dark town with a red scarf on, blah, blah, blah. And he said, now, gentlemen, you've all got that kind of information stored there. It's just a matter of getting it out. And, of course, for days after that, you were very, very tired, and you had dark circles under your eyes, and sleep was kind of just like it was unproductive. and it's because you were assimilating this data. And to make a long story short, we also were hypnotized. I remember a couple of sessions that I left. I remember being taken in under guard after hours, you know, in the nighttime after 10, to my squadron regular Air Force officer in charge, and he would sit there with a cigarette in his hand and his chair facing away from me behind his desk out into a black sky, or, you know, window, a big picture window into the blackness of night. And his cigarette smoke would curl up in the air, and you'd be standing, you know, I'd be standing there saying, you know, except for the last day of reports as ordered, sir, and have my salute up, waiting for him to say, you know, as you were, or at ease, or two, as we used to say. And he would leave you standing there watching this smoke trailing up, you know, from his cigarette. And then I assume he would say, you know, as you were, or whatever. And suddenly you remember waking up, or becoming conscious again, that you're not standing up, you're sitting on the edge of a couch over on the side of the room saying, yes, sir, good evening, sir, and get up and leaving under guard. And you wouldn't remember anything in between. It's just like when you go into surgery and get knocked out with, you know, laughing gas or something. You don't remember it. You come out the other side of it thinking, what happened all the time in between? So this happened a couple times there, and once in my room, and where I shared it with a fellow cadet, so I know what happened. And I was under at least 20 minutes that we know of, being instructed and queried by a senior officer. But as years passed, a number of my fellow cadets, I found out, either suicided or, you know, had severe mental problems of what had gone on there, and or died, you know, due to you know, stress or whatever. I'm not sure exactly. But I was one of the fortunate ones that made it through it. And when I was down in Australia, I learned a lot more from the Australian government about the project, because they were snooping on what us Yanks were doing.
Now, what was the project about, in your estimation?
Well, it was an adjunct to the, what do you call it?
MKUltra?
Yeah, well, that, yes. It was remote viewing, but of a different kind. We were being tuned, our minds like radios, so that we could say, before we went to sleep at night, I want to know about such and such a technology or this. And when we went to sleep, then our mind would reach out somehow into a great vast database of human minds. And it's like telepathy, but you wouldn't know who you were tapping in on. You would say, I want to know how to do a such and such or make a thing. And it would pump into your mind and translate it to visual 3D color images, like a CAD/CAM system on a computer. And I was amazed when it started happening to me years later. I, you know, just triggered it somehow. And I would wake up at maybe 4:30 or 5 before the sun come up, and then go back to sleep. And in that state, that semi-somnolent state, I would start to see things like, okay, a flying saucer. How does it work? Not an alien thing, but one that we would make. And I would see it break apart, and I could fly up inside of it in the thing I was seeing in my mind, and have parts expand and open up, so I could see what made them tick. Now, that's what we were being trained to do years before. And I assume, being on the other side of the world in a different time zone, I was picking up somebody's or group of somebody's thoughts and, you know, memories of this. But that's what it was originally designed to do, was to help us eavesdrop on the enemy and see what they were doing and develop technologies to counter them.
Well, do you think that you were tapping into some sort of invisible force that's there?
Well, it had to be something that we're not, you know, the guys down at the Aeronautical Research Lab said was that we were tapping into a giant database that is, you know, around all of us, that kind of like a sea of energy with, I guess, vibrations from brains in it.
Well, is this somehow tied into the mystery religions and the ancient mysteries that have been here going back throughout time, that people have tapped into and been able to come up with some of the most amazing inventions of modern times?
Well, I suppose it could be. I've heard that a number of inventions, they just seem to appear, you know, in guys' minds and whatever. And certainly, this happened to me. Before I went to the academy, I was in an advanced honors course in high school. There were about four or five of us that were genius IQ, and they put us into this class. I think that's probably how they picked us off, is because we could learn quickly, and so they put us into this system. And I'm sure that the people running it, from what I remember of them, were in the dark arts. They they would have known a lot, especially in the Rosicrucian movements and the Masonic movements.
Well, one of the things that most people don't know is that Thomas Edison, who gave us the electric light and so many other amazing modern discoveries, was deeply involved with the occult. He was a member of the Theosophy, which is certainly parallels the Rosicrucians and the Masons and all of these other occult organizations.
Yeah.
So then you became aware of the Rosicrucians, and I assume that the symbol on the front of your book, the pyramid with the rose in it, and the center of the rose is an eye, would that be Rosicrucian?
Well, that was part of it. But remember, the crystal in the eye in it represents a false messiah trying to be the false capstone.
Right.
And the real messiah is called the Rose of Sharon. And you know, the rose there also was to imitate that rose, as well as the Rosencrantz or Rosicrucian movement.
Well, everything has been everything within the occult is a mirror image of the Christianity, and everything.
A dark mirror image.
May pardon?
A dark mirror image.
A dark mirror image, right? Absolutely. And this is what people don't understand: is there's another world out there, and only very few people catch a glimpse of that world.
Yeah, well, I wish it didn't exist, I got to tell you.
Well, sometimes did you ever sort of wish you hadn't learned what you have?
I wondered if life would have been a lot simpler.
I think I feel exactly the same way that you do, and yet I honestly believe that for some foolish reason, I have no idea what it was, I was supposed to be doing what I'm doing today, because I've been at this for 40 years, and at least now we have an opportunity to get ideas out, and our program is heard all across the country, and indeed when the internet is working all across the world, and people are getting glimpses of what's really going on that they will never get through other sources. And of course, when you of course talk to Art Bell, and Art has a tremendous listening audience, but he was never coming at this from truly a Judeo-Christian point of view.
No.
He didn't believe in that at all, but he did believe that there was another dimension out there. And I think you'd believe there's another dimension there as well, don't you?
Oh, well, the studies of Hebrew I've done with a number of rabbis over the years has shown me that there's more than one other dimension. There's at least seven levels of existence above us, six or five, and one below us at least, mentioned. And like Kabbalah and stuff like that.
Now you're talking about the Kabbalah. This is the Jewish mysticism that was picked up during the Babylonian exile, when some of the Jewish leaders then tapped into the mysteries.
Yes, but it's been perverted over the years. It has been the people. I mean, it does work. I mean, the stuff they've tapped into is a type of power because of the knowledge, but.
It's a dangerous knowledge getting into that if it's misused.
Oh, well, look, they tell you in the early studies of Kabbalah, say, look, don't go into the Garden of Paradis with the 49 gates, or in other words, the knowledge garden, because if you do, only one rabbi is known to have gone, one student of Torah, has gone into it sane and come out sane. Everyone else that goes in comes out perverted, and I've certainly seen that in the case of two rabbis that went into it in modern times, and they came out warped, weird, you know, like evil.
Well, there was a movie not too long ago, and I think it was called The Ninth Gate. I mean, it was just a bizarre sort of movie, but, you know, you knew when this fellow finally became so obsessed with going to this gate, but I didn't realize that was basically what they were talking about was the Kabbalah. But this Ninth Gate is a Kabbalah phrase?
Well, it is one of many. As I say, there are 49 gates to the Garden of Paradise, or Pardis, which is a mnemonic for the secret studies. But I certainly don't encourage people to delve into that any further than just knowing that it exists and what the names are, because even saying certain words in Hebrew, I think, is dangerous.
I agree with you totally, and we're not trying to get people anything more than acquainted with this, the realization there is another dimension out there. And it's a supernatural dimension, but it comes from the very demonic force that has been in battle with the God of this universe since the beginning of time. So we'll be back in just a couple of moments with Stan Deo, and we'll talk a little bit more about his book and tell you how to get his writings. They're fascinating. And just a moment, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Alimax, and this is Dr. Stan. This is the time, this is the last time we're going to tell you about the conference we're going to be having this coming Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving, at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we have to have the number of people registered, is going to be registered, so they can get their lunches in. They said we had until tomorrow morning to let them know. So if you're interested in coming, it's going to start at 8:30 in the morning, go through to 5 o'clock in the evening. Going to be great speakers. Joan Paris is going to be there telling you what's really in the USA Patriot Act. Bill Sardi will be there talking about health issues and some of the exciting new things that are coming down the line. Brad Dacus will be there talking about Christian persecution. I'll be giving the opening talk on why we're really in Iraq, the reasons that you're never going to be told. And the next to the last hour, will be why we are having the problems that we're having as far as America changing. This is not the same America I was raised in. So why is it changing? And why has the Supreme Court come out so strongly anti-Christian when there is no basis in the Constitution for what they're doing? What is their real agenda? What is their real motive? Well, we're going to tell you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of school and out of government buildings, and the background to what's going on today. You won't hear this elsewhere, and we will begin tying this into history, and I believe it'll be a program that will alter the way you look at the world. At least I hope so, because if you leave looking at the world the same way you did when you came to the meeting, then I will have failed. And we're going to have an hour program where you just questions and answers, panel discussion. If you're interested in coming, give us a call, and you're going to have to do it today at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, there's going to be a luncheon. You're going to get a syllabus, and look forward to seeing you Saturday at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Well, that's Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Stan Deo. And Stan, just so I don't really forget to let you get your name and website out, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, sure. Stan Deo, StanDeo.com. That's StanDeo.com is the website. Once you get into there, you just follow instructions about where you want to go. Secondly, we have a phone here at 719-547-9100. 719-547-9100. We have those books, the Vindicator Scrolls and the Cosmic Conspiracy. They're preparing our new CD-ROM on Safe Places in America, such or left. By the way, just while we were break, I received 2 emails, urgent emails, from DEBCA and from WorldNet Daily about impending Al-Qaeda attacks, car bomb attacks in the United States over the 24th to the 27th, the holidays for Thanksgiving. Apparently, they have raised the internal security alert to red status for law enforcement and military, while the public one is held at yellow. It does look serious. They were really moving things, all kinds of stuff. There's about 7 or 8 points that they're telling law enforcement to do to get ready for a real widespread hit. They're telling this, and Debka said that the American Muslims have been urged to flee by a new Al-Qaeda tape.
No, it's very interesting that just a couple of days ago, General Tommy Franks, formerly head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had said, well, if we have a major Al-Qaeda attack here, why the Constitution will not survive. In other words, we will lose our freedom, they'll put on martial law. And if you read the Paul Bremer report, and this was put out in the year 2000, I think it's the current terrorist threat. But you can look up under Paul Bremer on the Internet, and it's the current terrorist threat. And he was saying that, you know, when the attack comes, because they knew it was coming, how did they know? Well, they just knew it was coming. It was going to be just like another Pearl Harbor. That's the whole inference of the report. But, of course, the military would then take over. So this is my concern, that this would be very useful for those who would like to impose a military dictatorship. Do you see that sort of thing happening in America?
Oh, it certainly, I can certainly see it happening, yes. And I think that probably what may ensue is more problem than they had anticipated, because as soon as we have something like that and they start to try to make it a military dictatorship, we're going to have blacks against Puerto Ricans, against whites, against Hispanics, against, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's going to be that many groups fighting each other. We're going to have anarchy. Well, unless we are a house divided, we're in trouble.
Absolutely. Well, let's get one of our listeners that called in wanted to know about crop circles. Do they fit at all into what you've been talking about, this other dimension?
Well, I don't know. I have to be honest. I've studied them, but I've come to no conclusion. I have not been able to decode them as some people say they have. So I am aware that they could be produced by electrogravitic means, by sending balls of charged energy and directing them like you would a cursor on a computer or a plotter to do these things. And I assume that's what's being done. But a lot of the cases have been fraud, so it's just very hard for me to sort out what's doing that, and it's a modern thing. I don't remember seeing any reports of it in the ancient days. So if they make a religion of it, or if they make an ism of it and link it to the alien presence, well, then it's bad, in my opinion, and dark. So
now, what about the animals, the animals that are killed and drained of blood, but there's no blood there?
Mutilation,
right.
Okay, well, now, this could definitely be a fallen demonic presence here, you know, on our planet. It could also be our own people doing this for some reason, like checking the herds of beef to be sure they haven't had genetic mutations from various drugs and things in the food, so they don't get into the people, into the food chain. But since about 1958, at least, I know we have had ultrasonic wands, they're called. They're scalpels that operate at 50,000 cycles a second, because my dad had one of the units of testing in our oil lab, research lab in Dallas back then. And these things would cut meat and leave it polished, just like the mutilation cases have told. And ultracision, ultracision, was one of the early developers of this kind of technology. So I know we've had that technology ourselves to make that, so I'm divided as to who did it. The fallen alien-type bad guys, from the Satan's ranks, or our own guys under some other reason.
All right, well, when we get back, I want to get into the whole subject of the Illuminati, because you spent a lot of time on that, and a lot of people say, well, that's just crazy talk, and yet history proves that the Illuminati was there. You'll find this in your old encyclopedias. My 1913 Encyclopedia Britannica has a whole section on it. They've just removed it from modern encyclopedias, and remove it from the encyclopedia, it just can't exist. Or can it? Well, we'll cover this and many other things when we get back here in just a moment with Stan Deo, who's been studying this, well, just almost as long as I have. So we'll be back in just a moment.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we carry a number of products here that do help keep us on the air. One of them is called Phenopoly, and it's a program designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read phonetically. There's been a conscious effort to dumb down our students, and they couldn't have done such a bad job unintentionally. They knew that phonics is the way you teach children to read, so they specifically blocked education in phonics, and they've been messing up young people's minds, giving them the word pictures rather than sounding out the words, which, of course, is on the left side of the brain. They've been using the right side of the brain. Anyway, this program is designed so in 16 hours you can undo all the harm that's been done. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. It's got everything you need in it. It's called Phenopoly, and you can get it by calling 1-800-5-448-927. What a wonderful gift for a child so that they can read. And then the other thing is you ought to think about getting them out of government schools. And we have a wonderful program. It's on 22 CDs that will take your child or your grandchild from kindergarten all the way through high school graduation. Everything is on these 22 CDs, the lessons, the lesson plans, the tests, the answers to the tests, everything but the Saxon math textbooks. It's $199.95 for the entire program, and your children will learn. Now, they don't get onto the computer. You don't want your child on the computer. You want them to learn to read, and you want to learn how to think. And it's a wonderful program. Dr. Robinson, who's a friend of mine, used this on his children, all six of them, the two boys. When they finished, went right into the third year of college. They were so far ahead of the other boys going into college today. Most of our kids have to take Bonehood math and Bonehead English because they're dumbing them down. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Stan Dale. We're talking about his book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. And so you, of course, have spent a great deal of time talking about the Illuminati. And to a lot of people, they don't believe there's an Illuminati, because if there was an Illuminati, they would have been told in school. And yet my grandfather told my father about this probably 80 years ago. And in another generation, earlier in the 20th century, everybody knew about the Illuminati. George Washington wrote about it. Timothy Dwight, Jonathan Edwards' grandson, gave a talk about it, which we have. And everybody knew about the Illuminati. And because of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think, the average person has no idea what this is about today. So why don't you tell our listeners why we should even be concerned about this organization called the Illuminati?
Well, mainly because it is the physical presence of Satan and his allies here on the earth among humankind. I think from the research that I've done, and possibly what you've found as well, that the higher ranks of the membership of this elite group of industrialists and engineers and bankers that control our world are actually have to do rituals that allow them to either be possessed or directly under control of some very evil forces in parallel dimension. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Now, some of the rites of passage in some of these higher positions are absolutely grotesque. And I've gone over some of them in the book. I don't think I'll do them over the air, but
no, this is a family program.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
And it's just sickening and frightening at the same time. And you know, so many people, like you say, are ignorant of this, not by their own choosing, just that they have not been given the opportunity to read about this takeover of our governments worldwide. And the way that it was done, and very cleverly, was by that fellow Adam Weishaupt back in 200 and some odd years back in the late 18th century. He cleverly figured out, after studying with the Jesuits for a while, that if you could infiltrate a secret society, like, say, for instance, the Masons, the Order of Masons, and pull off some of the better membership to the side, saying to them, look, I'm a higher rank, a secret rank, and you can't tell your other brothers about it, that if he could do that, he could get control of many high-ranking people who are already members of these...
esoteric societies, right?
Esoteric societies, that's right. So that's what happened, and he... You know, I mean, even today, they speak in the Masonic Lodge of the Great White Lodge, that mystery lodge that no one knows where it is or who runs it, but you'll know when you get contacted by them with a secret word or handshake, and they pull you off to a meeting that you can't talk about, and you've been inducted into the White Lodge, you know, the Lodge of Light. Illuminati means, you know, the enlightened ones, those of the light, like Lucifer. And, you know, it is... I know it sounds strange, but, I mean, you know, presidents for some time have been inducted into various societies that are controlled by these people. Presidents just do what they're told, basically.
And what I think is so difficult for the average individual to grasp is that this is not imaginary. Aleister Crowley writes about this in his biography, how he was a 33rd degree Mason for 12 years before he was selected to go to the upper echelons. He was a Satanist. He was driven out of Italy because of the child sacrifices involved in. He called himself the Beast, the evilest man in the world. My number is 666, he said. And if you read about Aleister Crowley, but there are stores in town. Every major town has a metaphysical bookstore where you get books on Madame Blavatsky and Aleister Crowley and Satanism and witchcraft. And we have literally hundreds of thousands, probably millions of Americans today involved in this sort of thing. You can go up on your web page and start looking for Satanism, and you'll find multiple websites going into that. And this is so difficult for people to believe that this could really be happening today. But we have a wonderful book written by the Librarian of Congress. Nobody would ever accuse him of being a conspiratoriologist. His name is James H. Billington. And he writes about the Illuminati. Now, he doesn't talk about what it is today, but we have this from people who have been affiliated and been members of it, who have actually talked about what goes on at the upper echelons of this, and drinking blood and human sacrifice.
Well, you know, I didn't kind of explain all this, but for a short while in Dallas, I worked undercover for the FBI. And at that time, I was working for a multinational group in the computer side of things in Dallas, who were being investigated by Hoover for illegal arms trading in the Middle East, and they wanted me to spy, which I did. But part of my assignment, they sent an agent and another agent to me, and he said, look, the director, Mr. Hoover, wants to know if you know anything about the Illuminati. He has opened up an investigation called Operation Illuminati. And so if J. Edgar Hoover, you know, for what foibles he may have had, if he opened up a file on the Illuminati, then you got to know that there was something there. And
what year was this?
That was 1971.
That's very shortly before he died under mysterious circumstances.
Well, I left the country. They helped me leave as well when I went to that new assignment down there. And I arrived in Australia September the 19th, I think, 71. And I was told as I was leaving by my control agent, he said, if you get down there and Hoover dies or is replaced by Nixon, the president at the time, then you know that you have no access. We can't help you anymore because our side will have lost the war against the Illuminists who are trying to take over the FBI. And sure as we sit here, within a year, I think it was about a year later exactly,
right,
Hoover had a, quote, heart attack, you know, and it was over. Unfortunately, he boxed himself into a position of power that he couldn't trust anybody to turn it over to. And so, you know, it was one of those things. When he died, the whole organization fell apart. Within 6 weeks, 72 of the top men in the FBI resigned. They were in the defeated side.
All right, let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Very interesting guest, as usual. I have a question. You know, what the scriptures, it talks about God being in control of things above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. Is it possible that some of the UFOs come from inside of the earth and not outside?
Oh, quite possible. I suspect that, however, the majority of them are coming from higher levels being cast down in our days, because a number of the reports that we've read over the last 20, 30 years have shown them to pop out of a clear blue sky and, like a fluttering leaf, come down and sometimes land, and the occupants get out and start kind of looking around like, where the heck are we, or starting to investigate and explore. And so they're new to the region, or to our dimension. So when they come in from a higher level, I think they actually do physically come in from height. When they come up from a lower level, I think the phenomenon is different, and I don't know how many of them can actually escape from the lower level, because it seems to be sealed under the, what's said in the book of the Revelation, until an angel comes down and opens it up and lets the uglies out.
Now, do you believe that these are demonic manifestations?
Yeah, but not, yeah, and I don't think they're just projections. I think that they are real, but they're demonic. They are demonic and in some cases fallen angels who are being cast here.
I certainly, you come to the same conclusion. We've never talked before just a couple of days ago, I think it's fascinating that you come to the same conclusion that I have. Herman, do you have another question you'd like to ask?
I don't know if you've covered this, if Stan has any comments on a possible rebuilding of a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and or another war over there?
Well, on the first issue, the rebuilding of the temple, I've done quite a bit of study, and I was given a map by Dr. Bendel Jones of his excavation looking for the Ark of the Covenant that will be needed for the new temple. And I did go over into the Middle East, into the Qumran, and into one of the caves there called the Wadi HaKippa, and where Dr. Jones had found the hidden layers where the priests of Zadok had sacrificed and done worship years and years, centuries ago. And there were some very interesting things found there, and I did some studies on the copper scrolls, which led Dr. Jones there, because the location of the Ark of the Covenant is hidden in a very unusual coded fashion in the copper scrolls, which are now stored in the museum in Jordan. The temple can be rebuilt two ways, a nice formal big gold gilded type thing like the temple of Solomon, or it can be done as a temple, a tabernacle of the wilderness. Now, the mysticism or mystery schools in Israel say that they think that it will be the tabernacle of the wilderness, which is cloth rolled up on the acacia poles and the gold-plated poles, all rolled up and stored with the Ark, the Aron HaKodesh, in its resting place now, which is either in a vault underneath the old foundation or over in Gilgal in northern Jordan, where Jacob wrestled with the angel. At one time, Jeremiah took it over there during the Babylonian captivity and hid it. If it wasn't moved from there, that's where it is today. And if it was the real one, that's where it is today. However, there's a growing weight of argument says that the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle of the Wilderness are stored underground in a vault, a stone vault, where they were dropped when the Babylonians were attacking. That they knocked some stops out of the two pillars, Boaz and Jachin, and it sand poured out and filled, and they used an Egyptian trick to just move blocks over the top of it down underneath in the lower levels, and it's there now. There's not enough time here to go into why, but I even have a picture in the Vindicator Scrolls of the iron gateway that's been put up into that tunnel, in the Kohanim tunnel underneath the foundation where I was, to block any further, goy or non-Jewish, non-Israeli intervention to that tunnel to see if the Ark is there.
Is that the same thing that Ron Wyatt was looking for?
Ron was looking for it, but he didn't find it. I know Ron. I supplied some of the maps for Saudi Arabia for the looking for the mountain of Sinai there, called Jabal al-Laws. And I do think that Ron was probably right about that, but Ron was also wrong on a lot of other stuff. So I guess we're all given the privilege of being wrong on what we conclude from the evidence, but certainly what they're saying is if the Temple of the Wilderness is built, it can be laid up against the Western Wall, and they say by legend that when you start to unroll the tattered old cloth that's wrapped around the poles of the original at Tabernacle of the Wilderness, that it will start to renew, and as each fold is turned, it will renew and renew and renew until suddenly the whole tabernacle is established in bright glory and et cetera, et cetera. But the thing wrong with this is that it also says that the Messiah himself must oversee the new tabernacle. And so it would tend to say that there's going to be a fake building, a fake tabernacle, or one by the Antichrist or those who are stupid, putting up one thinking they're doing the right thing, and that will supplant what the real one should be. I know that the Masonic people I've talked to at a high level have said for many years that the stones have already been cut properly without metal use and stored in a valley nearby to rebuild the temple the old way. And so, you know, I don't know. I personally think if they make one, that it will be an evil one, and will be destroyed when Jerusalem is nuked, as I think it describes in the prophecies.
Okay, we're going to have to run, Herman. We're out of time. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Nathan calling. Hi, Nathan. A quick question.
Yes. There are actually a lot of things I could comment on. But the question is, in your opinion, you mentioned the Illuminati, i.e. the Bavarian Illuminati, founded by Adam Weishaupt in 1776. In your opinion, are those the people running the world now, yes or no? Easy enough. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was that directed to me?
Yes.
Yes, I think it is the derivative from that organization, the original one. I think it's changed control a number of times, but I do think the majority of that power is centered in Europe, and that America has been vacated or is being vacated by all those Illuminists who are in the know, because they're going to take America down hard, and it will be a wasteland before they're finished with it.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. Let's go to Rose calling from New York. Hi, Rose. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Until we just talked to a Stan, but of course I'm not disagreeing at all with what he says. I think America is going to be punished by our Lord because of what it turning against him. Watching CBS last night, they were talking about 800 million pornographic movies were rented in the United States last year. I don't think God's going to look very kindly on that sort of thing.
No.
More people watch pornography than watch sports. Did you have a question at all for...
Yes, I did. You had spoken a while ago, Stan, to you, about an energy source that at one time you were working on or something, and it was pretty powerful and inexpensive. How is that being used today by the Illuminati or, you know,
well,
others?
I don't know how they're using it. I can tell you what some of the original uses were. It was to power some of their craft. When it was first discovered during World War II or just slightly thereafter, they were testing it and developing it in an old bunker in West Germany. And the device they were testing, oh gosh, it weighed tons. And it has been miniaturized now that it's about the size of two or three little bread boxes and can power 30-diameter craft. So the power it comes from the atmosphere and from nuclear energy as well. But when I say nuclear, it's not like radiation. It's like atoms all vibrate and have heat. And there's a way to mine infrared energy out of atoms all around us that are, you know, above zero in temperature, and you can turn that into electricity directly. It's called thermionic conversion. Now, that takes a little bit more complicated stuff, but the one that I'm working on here nowadays is out in the backyard here. I'm building a thing to convert atmospheric electric charge into usable power straight into batteries, a fairly simple thing, and the amount of power is measured in the solar wind energy that hits us, plus some other radiation from cosmic and solar sources at different frequencies. And it's enough to give everybody in the entire world right now double the population 20 kilowatts of power per 24-hour period. You know, it's just an enormous amount of energy in that one. And that's nothing compared to the thermionic converters.
I was wondering if they were using that in any way in the weather modification weapons or in the, quote, sighted UFOs or anything like that.
Well, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, drawing that kind of power out of the atmosphere in single places, like might be done with HAARP or something like that up in Alaska, will definitely modify the weather. And HAARP is not the only, the United States is not the only one messing with this. The Russians are messing, the Chinese are playing at it. And they've been doing this since 1976, that I know about. And it will definitely affect the weather if used improperly, and this has been something that those of us that have worked on it and theorized about it have worried about.
All right, Rose, we're out of time.
Okay, thank you
very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And Stan, we're going to have to get you back on here again one of these days and
all right.
Go into this a lot more. Unfortunately, this is a rather short program, but we've got lots longer programs, so we'll be calling you off the air. Again, let's get your telephone number off one more time.
719-547-9100.
And the book is The Cosmic Conspiracy. Fascinating. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good night. God bless.
Bye-bye. Set genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention to you the Institute of the Constitution. This is a wonderful program that's put forward by our friends back in Annapolis, Maryland, and it's designed to teach you and your friends and the people in your church about the Christian history of America. And this is one of the most carefully kept secrets in America today, is that we were founded by Christians as a Christian nation, and up until 50 years ago, everybody knew that. And then, little by little, like a thief at nighttime, they've gradually stolen away our heritage. And anybody who says this was founded as a Christian nation, or the Bible is the foundation of our law, is immediately ridiculed, and they equated with people who believe in black helicopters or, ghoulish individual or the Illuminati. And they're very effective in demeaning people. But the truth of the matter is that they're really... is these forces that are out there. So let me suggest that you get hold of our good friends at the Institute of the Constitution. For $99, you get 12 half-hour lectures on video. You get two additional videos by David Barton. You get a book that has questions and answers and tells you exactly how to set up a program. I know one of our listeners is sending one out down in one of the... towns not too far away from us. They get 20 people out at their church. You ought to do this at your church too, because it will begin to bind the people in your church together. What a wonderful opportunity to learn about our heritage, and this is the first step towards taking America back. The most carefully kept secret, America was a Christian nation. The telephone number, 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Or go to their website at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you'd like to become part of our family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we encourage you to go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours every day, where you can pull down our newsletters, where you can get some of the other things that we've written. And we encourage you to get those, to copy them, to get them out. But the major advantage of our website is that you can hear our programs 5 hours a day. This program will be archived there for about 6 weeks, and you can listen to it several times. There was a great deal in this program that I think was important. So if you'd like to Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Please tell others about the website and tell them about our programs as well. Now, if any of you would like to get the information that will really explain what's going on in the world, my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, is must reading for those of you who are concerned about what's really going on, because it will take you into the spiritual forces working behind the scenes through the Illuminati and the many other organizations that are there. So if you'd like to read Brotherhood of Darkness, it's available for $12.95 plus shipping, or you can, of course, get it along with a video and an audio tape and the book for $29.95. It's a great Christmas present. The Phenopoly program we have to teach children how to read is a great Christmas present. I believe that Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, is something that you'd really want to be able to give to other people. Our four tape sets on almost any subject out there. We have a four tape set on health secrets secrets, life-saving secrets, I think is the title. Actually, it's a series of interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we have four tape sets on the secret government and secret societies and going into so many of the things we talk about here at Radio Liberty. And you can access all of our programs or all of our tape sets if you just go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can find many of the things that we sell there, and we sell them so we can afford to be on the radio 5 hours a day. We do carry the Berkey, Big Berkey, and Berkey Light. If you buy them through us, you get a four-tape set and or a video that we produced free of charge if you buy those products through us. So remember the website again. It's radioliberty.com, and the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, WAR. And then we certainly want to mention the MediShare. If you are out there in the listening audience and you need or would like to have a health cost-sharing program, and you're a Christian, you can consider MediShare. It's an inexpensive means of covering your health care costs for yourself and your family. And if you'd like to know more information about MediShare, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because there's new programs that are coming in as far as paying for drugs, for Medicare recipients, is simply designed to bankrupt the system, to bankrupt our entire health care delivery system, and you really want to have something to cover yourself and your family, because the costs are going to go so sky high that people won't be able to afford any insurance at all. If you're interested in MediShare, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. We ask you to pray for our ministers and for our leaders. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.